That is Robbie Williams, and I wouldn't normally do this kind of thing. I wouldn't normally wish Morris Mizalowski happy World Wombat Day, but I'm going to. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm glad you have. You've also educated me, because I had no idea. Well, now I feel terrible for all those wombats I had not known about.
So I suppose the next question is pointless. What is it?
Well, it's an international Wombat Day.
Mr. W. Ickipedia.
And it's celebrated annually on October 22nd. Says he, sounding like he knows all about it, but is reading from a screen. Now, it was created in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been around for quite a while. It was chosen because it's springtime in Australia, which it certainly is today. It's beautiful. We're heading up to 30. Tomorrow must probably be thunderstorms.
We're 30 today. We're neck and neck, which is weird.
Yeah, but you stay there. We go to thunderstorms. We go to cold. It's spring here.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know what we're supposed to do, which I'm going to absolutely do.
Go on then.
So this we are being told. Here are the things you should do to support Wombat Day. Right. You should visit a zoo or animal sanctuary, which absolutely you should. I like these next ones. Wear wombat-themed clothing. Baked wombat-shaped treats.
Okay.
We're fulfilling one of them, and the next one, which is learn more about wombats and share your knowledge with others. There. That's what you're meant to do. And for those that are desperate to know, wonderful information. Wombats are herbivores with a complex digestive tract, and they weigh up to 36 kilos.
Okay. So that's it. We've done Wombat Day, have we?
We've probably done more than most people have on World Wombat Day. Well done, you.
Well, I'll tell you what next? They're the two words, and that sort of takes us on to what we were going to speak about. So Morris wrote once again, a very fascinating article. He's really on a roll at the moment. And essentially, it is, we're so concerned really now with teaching the AI that somewhere down the line, you know, where do people fit in? Apprenticeships and training and this, that and the other. So MorrisFuturist.com if you want to read with us. Fill me in, Morris.
It's something I've banged on for a long time, which of course is not unusual to you or the listeners. And that is, obviously I love humans and I love the human thought and the human education.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think has really gone by the wayside over the last 50-100 years, it was the notion of having a guild or having true apprenticeships. A guild was the way traditionally, you know, 13, 14, 1500s, going back a long time when I was a boy, a guild was really one of the only ways to get a profession, and they were usually in the crafts. So you had guilds around carpenters, around jewelers, around all sorts of bits and bobs, pharmacists or doctors who were very, very different from what we consider them to be barbers. A guild was basically you got at a very, very early age, you know, around the 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s years of age, you got somebody to say, yeah, I'll take you in, basically work you for nothing for a whole lot of years.
I'll grow you sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of it, you will be allowed to have this profession, and it was allowed. Because you got at the end of that agreed to time of being part of a guild or an apprenticeship, you got the rights to have the keys to the castle. So you were called that thing and you were allowed to practice it. Remember, this was a day before universities. It was a day before, you know, people had to have qualifications. It was one of the very few ways that you could actually assert that you had done some training in this. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back to the days where it was almost a slavery and all that kind of stuff, but I like the idea very, very much of humans learning off wise humans.
Human
people
mentorship.
People have been there and done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who have done it before. Now, our education system is wonderful. We've talked about it a lot of times. In fact, I take that back. The system, I think, is quite awful. I think teachers are wonderful.
Yeah.
I know teachers are wonderful. Educators are wonderful. The reason I say the system is horrible is because I haven't met one, and I'm one, who actually says, I love this system. It makes my teaching so much earlier, so much easier, I should say.
Yeah.
Most of us rally and fight against it, not because it's terrible, because it's old-fashioned, it's old hat, and it's kind of one-size-fits-all, and none of our students are ever one-size-fits-all, nor should they be.
How many of your mates and colleagues look back and say, pointless, don't know why I went to school, and how many say, I loved it?
I think more importantly, Phil, but I think more importantly, our kids will say that more than we have, because the reality is the stuff that we would teach them, if we take the traditional road of saying, do your whatever 12 years of school from when you're a child to when you stop being a child, an adult, and then go on perhaps to an apprenticeship or a trade or a university or whatever and learn something, you know, put something in there and that's what you'll be for the rest of your life, is not something that the vast majority of kids moving forwards will ever have the ability to do.
Right.
They will need to learn new stuff all the time, Phil. I mean, where did the AI come from? 2 years ago, nobody knew about it. It's been around, but 2 years ago, it didn't really exist. Today, it's a trade and it's an incredible profession. You can't have learned it at university for most people. You've really got to learn it on the job.
Unless you're at university for the past 10 months or something.
Yeah, but you still most probably wouldn't have been out to do it, and it's very, very rare, and I know this firsthand, it's very, very rare that university would actually be able to teach you very well about it because it was learning just as well.
Exactly.
It was learning alongside. They were the ones who obviously were the ones who were railing against stop cheating through ChatGPT and all this stuff. So there were some courses, of course, that taught it, but for most people, that profession, and when you go back to a lot of the professions over the last 20, 30 years, when the internet came in, when social media came in, when websites came in, it was all fly-by-your-pants stuff.
You know what fascinates me, Morris, that you reached this area of comparing, if you like, something that's pretty much medieval with AI and the future?
Thank you. Because to me, everything
awesome.
Olds again. I mean, we've spent millions of years, whatever it is on this planet as human beings, we've tried most things. We're really just reinventing them, redoing them, and bring them out in new ways. It's always seemed to me through history, and this is reading it, not living it, but through history, reading it, it seemed to be, yes, there were issues because many, many, vast majority of people did not get access to education. That was a terrible thing. But we've kind of made up for that in many places in the last 100 years or so. Not great across the world, I accept that. Some countries don't have access, but for many of us, most of our kids at least get a chance to go to school and to learn things and to become, in brackets, educated, whatever that means.
How often have you heard perhaps parents and uncles and even older say to you, I had a brilliant education having been an apprentice. I really learned something, the trade. And boy, oh boy, it pays off when they have to, you know, at the end of the month, get the checks.
Lots lamented. In Australia, in Melbourne, I think it's same around the world, but we have a really difficult apprenticeship system, not meaning that's not available, but one of the things you have to do to become an apprentice, I'm talking about being a carpenter, being a landscaper, one of those trades is you will have to apply to a TAFE, which is a technical and further education. It's
right.
A practical sort of university that specializes in trades, does lots of other things, but that's not the difficult part. The difficult part is that you will need to be attached to a person in the profession.
Right.
So you will have to find somebody who is doing it, who's willing to take you on, and that's extraordinarily difficult because so many kids want to become that profession, only so many employers can take people on.
In your article, Morris, you say, picture this, it's the year 2035, so the guys now are the ones that will be taking on apprentices, but they will have learned through the school of hard knocks, as they like to say.
Yeah, so my argument is this, that I believe that the guild apprenticeships were a great model. Learning by seeing and doing is always good.
Yeah.
Learning by practicality is important because some things need to be learned on paper. It just makes sense if we're talking safety, if we're talking all kinds of things. Some things should still be traditional. What I'm arguing in this article is that, in fact, what we have now is a third way to teach, and that is using artificial intelligence, using technology that allows us to learn on time, in situation. Think about YouTube, how often many of our listeners will go to YouTube to figure out how to boil a kettle, literally, or how to change a tire, or how to paint, or whatever. So we really do know that we can find things instantly and learn about them straight away if we need to.
Do you think, then, that the work models you talk about now with us and stuff that's been around for hundreds and thousands, whatever, of years, they're just kind of cooking to find a new place and a new direction now?
Yep. That's exactly it. I'm suggesting now there's a third leg to it. It's not just about going to a place where you learn the theory and a place where you learn the practicality. There is a third place, which most probably is with you for life, where you can learn it anytime, anywhere. Mm. It's still relevant. And that's this artificial intelligence, mixed reality or augmented reality stuff. In other words, online, but not sitting in front of a keyboard online, the really futuristic stuff that we're starting to see now pushed forward by artificial intelligence.
You bring up a very good point a few minutes ago when you said it's not teachers, they're brilliant, it's the system. But, well, the system bend to move in the way you're describing.
No. No, I mean, firsthand, the answer is no. It'll bend, but it'll break eventually. Most really great teachers, and I know lots of them, I mean, will know exactly how to get around the system, but for the right reason. Yeah, for the right reason, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you're still responsible to the students and the parents. You still have to get them through the curriculum. They still have to pass the tests. So this is not taking shortcuts because there is very, very strong empirical evidence if your students have passed or failed according to a generic test. But the way you get them there, you can really play with that if you are a great educator, as long as you get them to the end result really well and treat them well, as they should be treated, of course, then you can do some incredible stuff. But it takes a brave teacher to do that. It really does.
It's really strange, isn't it? I mean, we didn't really hear too much about this. Of course, AI has been industrial level for a long, long time. But what were we saying, November a couple of years ago? If that date hadn't happened, we certainly wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. If ChatGPT hadn't come to market in the way that it did, we most probably would, but not as ferocious as we do now.
Well, same could be said for the web, by the way, if you turn back.
Yeah, but the web kind of snuck up on us. Yeah. Still. There were lots of years. It was what I used to talk, I mean, what lots of people use the analogy of the boiling frog. You know, it was slow and it was tepid, and you kind of saw it behind you. Some people knew about it, other people thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
ChatGPT, which is the example of the brand that we knew, which said AI has arrived, literally came from nowhere on the 18th of November in the morning to being a must-have by the end of the day. It was talked about in all kinds of media, all kinds of spaces. It was just the thing that many, many people, for the first time in their lives, had heard about, and many people were trying. It literally came from nowhere, even though it has a 40-year history, came from nowhere overnight.
Have you noticed that the way people discuss this thing has changed in that small amount of months? It was, now be careful, this is out, it's great, it's fantastic, and blah, 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 speaking like in superlatives, honeymoon period, but now it's like, yeah, we'll do it on AI. Piece of cake.
It's changed a lot. It has become more accepted than ever. I spoke to another event organiser this morning who I know 12 months ago her audience would not have taken an AI message very well, who now not only wants the AI message but wants hands-on instructions, because her members, the same ones a year ago who I know absolutely for sure would have thought just get off stage and give me something else to listen to, now are saying, I don't really understand this. I need you to show me how this thing works and explain to me why I need it. And that's 12 months of travel. This is a very, very senior audience too, and it's a large organisation. So it's fascinating to see how in 12 months the brief's changed.
Yeah, fascinating. MorrisFuturist.com, the article, The Future of Apprenticeships in a Post-Automation World, Returning to Craftsmanship in the Age of Specialisation. So, as I said before, picture this. It's the year 2035, by which time, Morris, AI might have learned how to do fingers in photographs.
Maybe. that's a bit ambitious, Phil, but we'll give it a whirl. We'll tell it to try.
Well, joking aside, we're still very much in the honeymoon period. Do you really see this levelling out by 2035? Is it going to be almost sentient and well-behaved?
I'm not sure it will be well-behaved, but it will be well-known by then. You know, we will have had, 15, 16 years of it by then.
It'll be fairly ordinary.
No, because it's going to grow and grow and become and do more and more. It's going to become fairly obvious. You know, obvious meaning like gas and electricity. It's just around and we take it for granted.
Yeah.
By 2035, it'll definitely have, you know, like internet, like social media, pick whatever analogy you want. It's just there. Most people don't mind it. Some people love it. Some people hate it. All of those are great responses, and we just move on with life.
If you just want to illustrate this in the big picture of things, are we in the Clive Sinclair period now?
We possibly are. I think we are definitely in the internet dial-up days is the equivalent to me. I say to people all the time, especially people my vintage, if you can hear the phone ringing as it did for the internet, that buzzing when it connected, that's pretty much the same thing you should be hearing about artificial intelligence now. Clunky, old, bit eccentric. Maybe it'll get better.
Eccentricity, I think that's the thing. But would that make it less fun? Would that make it less of a challenge if it did start to behave itself? I mean, it really is quite moody, and it can be fun. But
yeah, it is. It is. But it is getting better, not to defend it to the nth degree, because I think that there are lots of things with it, but this is a new technology. This is a baby. Mm. It's got to go through its infancy, through its teenage years and beyond. It will be almost a teenager by then, and I think it will become more – it'll become much easier to use. It'll definitely have the interface of – talking to it, so I don't think we'll use keyboards so much. I think it will talk and we will respond, and there will be another person in the room or in our ear, which I find quite extraordinary. It's equivalent of that earbud thing we've talked about a lot. Can you imagine 15 years ago people walking around with these things stuck in their ears? Now it's difficult not to find somebody who hasn't got something stuck in their ear, especially on public transport or somewhere else.
I wonder if this is a theory, a documented theory. I mean, you look in World of Music, turn it back 1970, 123, brain salad surgery, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. You watch videos of these guys who were so before their time in terms of synthesizer technology. And there are literally guys in the middle of a gig underneath reprogramming the thing as it goes on so it doesn't flip out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the equivalent of that friend who we talk about occasionally, Mr. Musk, last week announced his robot, which was fascinating. So he talked about the robots that he was going to bring to the world, much like his Tesla cars and his SpaceX and the rest. So this was the next big announcement. What came about afterwards was that the robots looked very, very strange. They were the usual things that we think, you know, humanoids, two arms, two legs, and a bit of a space look around them. They looked very strange because they didn't move robotically. They moved a bit too smoothly. One of the things that came out afterwards was that in order to make those robots on stage with him do the things that he was claiming they did autonomously, in fact, took a whole crew of people behind the scenes, not pulling strings, but pulling virtual strings and doing all kinds of stuff to get him to do what needed to be done. It wasn't as effortless as he was making out.
By the way, are we still getting a kick out of this because they look human?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what really this is all about?
Yeah, it is, because even though he got lambasted for that point and didn't really say it wasn't true, everybody else still went, yeah, but they were cute, that was good. You know, it's something that we might see in the future and want. I'm not really sure I want another humanoid robot, and I love this stuff walking around my house.
You've just brought us to...
Maybe.
I bet you'd love it, Morris, geek boy.
Yeah, most probably.
You've just brought us to a brilliant place here, because what about robotics apprentices?
Yeah, and all of those are really good examples where we can go to school and learn the basics, learn engineering, learn maths, lots of solid, really solid stuff. Please, we shouldn't think that we're giving people all this airy-fairy stuff. There's lots of solid grounding knowledge and wisdom that we can give out young folks, but we have to allow them the ability to be able to say, well, this stuff was great, it certainly gives me the foundation, but it doesn't tell me what artificial intelligence or how to use it or robots or anything else. I'm going to have to go away and experiment that, which is, again, why I think this apprenticeship new model works well. Just to throw some stats in as we close up, the world, we are told, again, these survey statistics and damn lies, is that by 2025, next year, 50% of all employees will need to be reskilled to some level because of automation.
Tweak,
that's according
maybe.
To the World Economic Forum. Yeah, tweak. Yeah. Learn a little bit about AI, learn how to use a new program. But this is the kicker. By 2030, 375 million workers may need to switch roles because of this technology. In other words, do something else, might be still in whatever they do. So instead of bookkeeping, instead of keeping the books, they may have to do wisdom or do reports or something on them, but they're going to have to do something apart from the routine work of it. That's why I think this apprenticeship model, this learning as we go, this rote model that we used to have is no longer working for us. We need to have some kind of apprenticeship guild, learning on the job system.
Absolutely, Morris. It makes a lot of sense. So very, very quickly, you like to talk about the changing nature of employment and training, etc. Are we right now at the thin end of what will be a very big wedge?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the big thing is, I'm being asked all the time, and we've talked about it all the time, is I'm not so much concerned about us, although of course I am. I'm always concerned about the next generation. We just got to put things in place today, because we have put all these technologies in place ready for them. We have to get them ready to use them really well and wisely. We can't anchor them back to the way we used to teach. Use some of it, but we've got to go beyond that.
Right, Morris, thank you very much. We're going to put the lid on it. If you want to read in detail, as always, morrisfuturist.com, and he'll be back with you next week. Let's check out the weather forecast.